Listen, it's February 26th. If you were going to get stuff done in February, I've got some bad news.
You got 2 more days? Is that the bad news?
Yeah, it's like, I'll do that in February. You've got 2 days. There's not enough time. I don't know where February went. It's gone.
What if they're? But if they're watching this as it was posted, they technically have 3.
Well, yeah. Well, if you stay up all night, you might be able to claw back some productivity, but it's just, it's gone, man. You're going to have to plan for March.
What if they jump on a plane?
And fly around the world?
Toward the dateline.
Isn't that what Superman did to fly back in time? It's like he flew around the Earth really fast.
Yeah, but modern planes don't have that kind of power.
But maybe foreshadowing, there's something Virgin Galactic that'll have that. But no, it's not time for that. This is hardware and business news. Business news, hardware figures under that.
We roll hardware into business now because it didn't make sense to separate them out.
Yeah. Well, our first story is definitely more about business than actually hardware innovation.
They rarely innovate.
Hot Hardware is talking about the NVIDIA GeForce GTX 1660 Ti, Turing under $300. Basically, they've taken the RTX bits out. This is actually a new piece of silicon because like the Tensor cores used to do floating point 16, so they did have to roll new silicon to do this, which is pretty interesting. The price point here, under $300, although there's not really a founder's version of the card. They're launching with like the AIB partners, and the AIB partners are charging quite a bit more than $300, some of them. But depending on what version of the card you get, you can get it for under $279, which is, like, NVIDIA has, like, looked at the market at around the $250 price point, and they have, like, laser-focused on it, which you can't tell me was not a business decision.
Why wouldn't they do that?
Well, I mean, it's like, let's have a little bit, let's, like, make the next generation product that's awesome and, like, head and shoulders above everything, and instead it's like, here's exactly what you need. No more. No less.
Well, it's a little bit better than 1070, a little bit better than the Vega 56.
Yeah.
So that's all we want, right? Just make it that much better than the competition. That's why when you have two companies competing for everything,
that is
it's
that part
bad.
Is kind of nice.
When there's no competition.
Did you see what I modified? It's a 1660. Never mind.
Speaking of no competition, the internet service providers in this country rarely have any competition. And if you think it's bad for your residential service, business service, even worse, as this poor, poor woman found out.
Frontier demands $4,300 a cancellation fee despite horribly slow internet. So this is a lady that runs a rural newspaper, and it's business class internet. And right before she took over from her mom or relative or something, they had signed a 3-year contract. Well, Frontier wants the full amount of the contract, even though the internet service, they really couldn't deliver on it.
Well, that was what they called the quote-unquote cancellation fee, which is exactly the amount that remains in the contract. Except you pay it all at once.
Yeah.
Rather than over time.
Spectrum and other ISPs do this as well. It is not just Frontier. This is pretty standard practice because consumers are protected against this kind of thing, but businesses not so much.
And they don't tell you in the contract what that is, just that there will be a fee. And it can be pretty much anything they say it can be. Probably up to what they're doing. Because
yeah.
If you did more than that, then a judge might find fault with it.
Yeah.
But this is probably where they figure exactly the amount of money they can take from you.
Now, where is the Jeep pie in this? Because it's like, we've got competition here, and it's like, no, we're going to hold our customer to their contract, even though our service is awful.
He's working so hard on the residential front, I don't think we can expect him to do anything for businesses at this point.
Is this something the FTC would look into? Because he's always like, FTC, FTC, FTC. Is this like, does the FTC get involved here? Because that might be interesting.
This story, often we'll do a story and you got to think, is there any possibility that anybody watching this has not heard about this yet? I mean, it's basically just commentary at this point. But listen, we got to talk about it because it's big news and it affects us.
YouTube gaming channels with bad comments could have ads removed. Yes, we have seen this. We have about a 6% demonetization rate on level one. And we are definitely cleaner than R-rated content on cable TV.
Fuck yeah. Now, YouTube channels with bad comments feels a little redundant. Are there any other kind?
So should we just disable comments?
That's what's happening. Some people. So there are several stories about this. Everybody has covered this. And we'll go ahead and look at the next one, which is about the Adpocalypse 2.
Nestle, Disney, etc. I pulled their YouTube ads, joining the furor over child videos. So what's happening here is, like, parents will post a video. One in particular was, like, a mom was posting video of, like, her five-year-old doing gymnastic stuff.
Well, there's a ton of those.
And the comments are, like, super creepy and pervy on YouTube rather than
not just super creepy and pervy. There's this loosely organized group who will go through and timestamp the most sexualized frames of these child videos.
There's nothing wrong with the video. It's the people.
Yeah. I don't know what the percentage is. Probably 99 point something percent of the population is going to watch that video and be like, oh my God, get me out of here. I do not want to watch other people's kids. But then there's that tiny percentage.
You remember, like, I'm sure that, I don't know. I mean, there was, it seemed like there was a kid in every class. There was that one kid who was like, hey, do you want to come over to my house and watch, like, Animal Planet or something? And it had, like, the natives or, like, animals, you know, having sex and stuff. And they were really excited by that. And it was like, this is weird.
Well, I didn't experience that. But there was definitely the textbooks that had the topless natives in them.
Oh, yeah.
That was a big hit. And, like, you'd open up the textbook and it'd be like, turns to page 372. You'd be like, oh, yeah, what's on page 372?
I felt at times like I was the only one that was like, there's something wrong with you. This is not like, what is this?
Well, it was, let's say, titillating the first time, you know, when you were 7 or 8 and you saw it. But
when it continued well past,
get over it. Yeah. When you're 30 and that's happening, that's an issue.
This seems like that on some level.
Well, it wasn't just that, though. So there was one YouTuber. Now, this is the depth of the story. It's sort of like horrible person pointing out horrible people victimizing innocent people, which cost innocent people money and evil corporation money. That's how this plays out. So there's one YouTuber who was unsuccessful for a variety of reasons. No one cared. And he decided to point out what was going on here. But he framed it as if YouTube was almost complicit. Like, YouTube was just like, yes, victimize the children. Whatever it takes to get those clicks.
those ad dollars.
I mean, as horrible as Google and YouTube is, and we know they're horrible. I mean, they're spying on us. They're trying to shape our opinions with YouTube. But I don't think that they're pro...
Yeah.
Pederast.
Not even the algorithm could possibly have that kind of a bias. I mean, as cold as the algorithm is, the dollar amounts, the article actually dives into dollar amounts. So it's like, what kind of money are we talking here? And I have to confess, I wondered that as well. It was like $5,000, and they're going to refund it.
So the idea here is we must protect the children. And throughout history, we must protect the children has been used for some terrible, terrible rules and regulations. In government and otherwise. And that's what's happening here. Because gaming channels are getting their comments removed. Because who watches gaming videos?
I think that might be the theme for this week's episodes of the news. Because we got some stories about that in the government section as well, I think.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, protect us from ourselves. But more and more, I think people are embracing that.
Yeah. No, please don't.
Oh, you're not going to.
I got to make it at least 40 more years. And then after that, you can do whatever you want.
But I don't know. That's ambitious. I think you and I are looking at 30 minutes. Anyway, YouTube has responded, and the big companies, Nestle, Disney, you know, the heavy hitters have sort of pulled away, not because I think they believe there's anything here, but it's like, listen, we do not want our name in the news next to this. Do something about it. And YouTube, just like Adpocalypse 1, said, all right, launch the nukes. We'll do something about it. We'll do it right now. And it's just hurting the content creators. Ironically, it's hurting the children.
I wonder how Lil Tay is doing with all this.
It's kind of a microcosm of Article 13. Because it's like, by trying to get rid of the worst 1% that you're never going to get rid of, you just burn the whole thing down.
Yeah. I think Lil Tay was on Instagram anyway, not YouTube.
You ever see the video where Lil Tay's being coached? It's very dark.
No. Yeah,
sad. Sad stuff.
People are going to link to that in the comments now, which, eh?
And the theme of stories that are horses that have been beaten until they're just an emulsified mass. It's this one, the Vox censorship.
We debated on covering this. So it's the whole Vox lawyers. You know, they took down Kyle's video and another video about the whole, like, The Verge did, like, let's build a PC. And, like, being there for The Verge, like, when The Verge was created, it was like, yeah, this is going to be all about technology. But it's so corporate. It's so corporate. This video was terrible.
Well, they all are. I mean, Ars Technica.
Yeah.
They're pretty corporate.
The Verge is trying to memory hole this.
The saddest thing I read, so here's the guy in question.
Sorry, guy.
Did not know much about PC building. And was compared to Urkel of Family Matters fame.
Yeah, that was
And
Kyle.
Somehow that was racist?
I don't think that was racist.
How could that be racist?
I don't think that was racist.
But that's, you know, the kind of hyperbole that they go into with these kinds of things. So it was just someone who made some mistakes, and I think rightly so, was lambasted for those mistakes. Why not? And it was entertaining, arguably, for some people.
Yeah.
Maybe those same people who are commenting on the... No, we shouldn't say that.
Well, the H3, you know, there was a court ruling. Like, fair use is hard to have, like, precedent, and it mentions that. But also the H3 ruling, because they did a reaction video, and it was the same kind of thing. But that was a couple of years ago, and it took a while to wait, make it through the court, and the judge was like, look, this is fine.
But it was... They did use a lot of that footage
yeah.
in their videos. But, you know...
H3 did as well. So there was so much commentary as well.
Well, so does the Nightly News.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they'll use somebody else's stuff and comment on it. That's... I don't know.
What a mess.
How about, you know, you've got to talk about every week, a week cannot go by that 5G doesn't come up in the news in some way. And this week it's Verizon.
Verizon plans to roll out its 5G mobile network in 30 cities this year. Meanwhile, the other cities that still have 4G are struggling because they have like 2 4G towers for hundreds of subscribers.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they ever really got 4G done.
No.
Before moving on. You know what they're using? They're using the PC game development mode of rolling out the new connectivity.
I would like some 4G DLC so that I could get more. Like, honestly, 4G would not be terrible in its current state if we about doubled the number of 4G cells for phones. But in congested areas, you'll have great signal, but you won't be able to get anything done because there's just too many people on a tower.
Too many people. That's the problem for everything on the earth.
I don't know. I think these companies just didn't upgrade their infrastructure to create artificial scarcity so they can be like, look, we got to charge $100 per gigabyte because there's just not enough. And it's like, didn't you create that situation? No.
It's interesting that they're using that as one of the excuses that we have to subsidize 5G so much.
Yeah.
It's like, no, everything on the web takes so much more data now. We need 5G to expand the amount of data we can give you. But wouldn't that also argue that the data cap should become a thing of the past when 5G rolls out? I don't think it will.
It definitely won't. But yeah, it definitely should. And well, even just more 4G towers, because you could double the amount of 4G bandwidth available to subscribers in a city by simply doubling the number of 4G towers.
But that's not going to impress anybody. You're not going to get a headline with that. That's out.
So
it's not happening.
Let's just cut. I mean, it sounds like this debate was already had inside AT&T. They were like, let's just relabel 4G to be 5G.
How about what a crazy world if that is like the most beneficial way to do it? Let's just lie about it so that you can do the right thing. Maybe somebody inside of AT&T is, you know, secretly working toward an actual answer, and they're so misunderstood. Well, another maybe misunderstood group is the Google executives, and they've had a lot of backlash. They don't like the sexual harassment. They hired a lot of blue hairs, and that's coming back to haunt them. And so now they are giving up another thing.
Google will end forced arbitration for employees, asterisk. This has to do with handling of sexual harassment cases. So Google's like, all right, look, we're going to try to do the right thing here.
But well, I don't think it's just that. I think this is for everything.
Really, it's about the employees are thinking for themselves, and it seems like Google's internal structure is changing a bit so that not everybody participates in every decision-making thing.
This does not count. The asterisk you were mentioning, it doesn't count for the contract workers who are not officially working for Google. You must still arbitrate. But if you are an official Google employee, you can sue them to your heart's content. Now, the group that claims to represent the workers, their response was, not good enough. Because it's never good enough. Because these people are professional outrage machines. But, well, you know, in this case, probably for the best.
When did we become professional outrage machines? That just seems terrible.
I think it was like around 2014.
Yeah. Can we just roll, like, just reset, just hard reset?
Let's fix do we it. Have a backup?
I don't think we do.
Do we back up the database in 2014? We could skip the whole Orange Man bad thing. Everybody would be happy with that, right? Both sides. Well, Google, once again, backtracking. And this time they're backtracking on maybe one of the most unpopular decisions in software to ever be made.
Google backtracks on Chrome modifications that would have crippled ad blockers. This ZDNet story lives out a lot of, like, if you want to go, like, read the bug tracker for this, it doesn't really cover it, but there is a lot of schadenfreude to be had in terms of, like, reading the bug tracker, because the Google people were like, oh, here's why. And then immediately a group of people shoot that down as a legit technical reason, and they're like, oh, we got this other technical reason. The one the article talks about is that a lot of plugins make a lot of extraneous requests that are not needed when rendering a page. And the article talks about how, like, ad blockers actually don't add very much latency to the thing. But the other thing that came out of this, we'll have another story on that's kind of related, but the ad scripts themselves, like Google Analytics and Google Tag Manager, are responsible for far more page latency than any of the ad blocking plugins.
Yeah, if you have an ad blocker that is killing, you have a really good one, like uBlock Origin, as many of you point out, so disgustingly often, and you kill those tracking scripts, you've got to be saving like 100,000% over what the ad blocker itself might eat up blocking those tracking scripts. So that's kind of a funny excuse.
Google's argument completely fell apart. They offered actually several arguments from what I could tell in the bug tracker, and they all fell apart under scrutiny. And so then they were like, all right, you know what? I guess it's fine.
Well, Apple, as we all know, Apple has been known to defend its patents with a scorched earth approach, no less. But they, you know, you live by the patent troll, you die by it sometimes. And they've discovered that there's this one place in Texas that has really lenient courts toward patent trolling. So what's the answer?
Apple confirms its plans to close retail stores in the patent troll favorite Eastern District of Texas. Now, we've talked about the Eastern District of Texas a lot, not just in the context of Apple, but tons of patent suits are filed there. And it's because it's pretty easy to get a patent ruling there. Well, Apple is simply going to close its stores there and not do business in the Eastern District of Texas at all, in order to avoid, so that when or if a patent troll tries to file a lawsuit there, it's like, look, we don't do any business in the Eastern District of Texas, deliberately sit and spin.
What will the geniuses of the Eastern District of Texas do now?
I don't know how effective this is going to be, because one supposes that they're not going to block iTunes for all of the customers in the Eastern District of Texas, but how hilarious would that be? I'm just imagining a dystopian future where our corporate overlords are like, we're going to depress the property values in the Eastern District of Texas by just turning everything off. It's like, no iCloud for you, no, you know, iTunes, nothing in the Eastern District of Texas. And people are like, no, I must have my iCloud.
Oh, man, what if that could be a utopia.
Just all that abandoned infrastructure. And, you
know. And no Apple users. Imagine it. That would buy up a ton of property there. That would be great. Apple has also decided to finally go ahead and get rid of all of the guesswork that comes with buying nothing but Apple products.
Apple plans on combining iPhone, iPad, and Mac apps by 2021. This year, it'll be easier to turn iPad apps into Mac apps and vice versa.
So they're not getting rid of... There will still be a separate version until 2021, when they will literally all be the same thing.
There's a lot of rumors flying around that Apple is exploring making iMacs ARM-powered, like switching to an ARM-type CPU. I think it's probably more likely that Apple will partner with somebody like AMD and produce a hybrid, like x86 and ARM on the same package type CPU. Apple doesn't really like having just one supplier for things, because they're like, oh, they're holding us over a barrel. And they definitely seem to feel that way with Intel.
That's got a lot to do with this story. Well, Therat, begone Therat, how dare you ad block us? But we can still see the title. And it's also about Macs.
Apple's newest Macs seem to have a serious audio bug. So what's going on here is the time service. Apparently, when the time service... Okay, so there's new encryption in new iMacs, the T2 chip, and it sits between two SSDs that are basically RAID 0 together. And so if you have an event and you lose your motherboard, you can't just transplant the SSDs into another machine because the keys are all stored on that T2 chip for security. And so the encryption, I think, depends on having an accurate date time. And so at least there's some kind of date time function there. And so if the system does not report to the T2 chip, then whatever this audio bug is, it does not happen. But whenever the time is reported from the system to the T2 chip, the audio stream, like for audio input stuff, just completely pauses. And Apple devices being, you know, like Unix reliable for audio capture has been a big thing for professional users. But here's a hint, Apple doesn't care about professional users anymore. Just look at Final Cut.
We can't do a week without Tesla. The people are just up in arms if you don't talk about Tesla at least once.
Or they're up in arms when we do talk about Tesla.
It's a different group. You can't please them all.
Can we somehow get the two groups fighting one another, Battle Royale style?
Well, the one group is going to be very angry with this one.
Consumer Reports is no longer recommending the Tesla Model 3. Please direct your ire toward Consumer Reports and not us. So the reason for this, cited by Consumer Reports, is craftsmanship, defects in the glass, like defects in the body panels, and maybe some fallout from that rust construction we were talking about a few months ago.
All of those things. There was the bumper falling off because it filled with water. There were bad welds.
Mismatched panels.
All sorts of things. They do admit, Consumer Reports, that all these things could have been fixed. But it's kind of a snowball. So many people keep reporting so many different things that they just have to cut that recommendation.
Well,
still the most popular electric car by a long shot.
It's still a really high customer satisfaction overall.
But I think one of the big problems is you get a Tesla, getting it fixed is an absolute nightmare. Yeah. And you can't just go down to, you know, Billy Bob's garage because he doesn't know how to fix them. And you have to have
just electrocute himself.
You have to have a certification, and I know nobody's got those. And the further you are away from the epicenter, the harder it is to get your Tesla fixed. So if the bumper falls off, like the one guy, I think it was 9 months later, he still hadn't gotten it fixed. What do you do if that's your only car?
Not drive a Tesla.
I guess.
Drive a loner Tesla?
I don't think they'll give you a loner. They can barely keep up with the demand as it is. Galaxy made their big announcements, and we'll start with... it was all Galaxy stuff. We'll start with the least exciting one. I don't know. The least...
Definitely the least exciting.
I don't know. It's a really cool thing. I don't really care about the foldy stuff. But this one, I think, is actually new technology. It's kind of funny. They're kind of fun.
The Galaxy S10 has an ultrasonic fingerprint scanner. Here's why you should care. So it takes a 3D scan of your finger through the glass. This is different than the other through-the-glass fingerprint scanners, which take like a 2D image of... You know how like when you press your face up against glass and it kind of... You know, you can kind of see it. Or frosted glass. You've ever put like scotch tape on frosted glass and then it's not frosted anymore? Like little neat things like that? This isn't like that at all.
And the ones, the actual contact ones, use electric impulses. But this can go through the screen because it is literally the tiny sounds of the different ridges of your finger hitting the glass at different times. Which is pretty amazing.
Neat. They didn't confirm what CPU the S10's using, but it's probably the Qualcomm 855. Snapdragon 855, I think, if I remember that correctly.
The other announcement that people will be much more excited about, but personally, I just don't see it, is the Foldy phone.
Samsung announces the Galaxy Fold, a phone that opens into a tablet. So I think the press video here is like really poorly done, because after the Apple video, because like the Apple video that had like the planet so that you couldn't see the notch, that was super misleading. And so now everybody's watching this saying, oh, the butterfly, like it's kind of dark down the middle. There's probably a line or something down the middle. But no, it does actually seem to be a folding screen. There's a demo with like Google Maps or something. And I can't really tell a difference between like the left and the right half. It does seem to be one panel that unfolds. And they say that the mechanism is good for hundreds of thousands of unfoldings.
If you're obsessive compulsive, you're probably going to go through this in about a week.
I figured, me, yeah. I figured like 12... would do it. You know, it's like, is this something I'm going to buy? And it's at $2,000. You know, even though it does have 512 gigs of storage, it's like, I don't think so.
We also got to worry about how much can that, like the punishment, how much punishment can that take?
Not a lot, I would imagine.
Yeah, if you got it in your pocket, it's getting, you know, throwing it down on a table or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't feel good about it. Google has this, you know what? We should have, did we put this with the other Google stories? We might not have. No.
Oops.
Failure. But Google is planning a new service, and we have questioned this in the past, but the way they describe it here does seem a little bit more realistic.
Google expected to reveal a game streaming service at GDC in March. Yeah. So this article talks about their experience playing it, and it was apparently playable even when the bandwidth would vary a little bit. It just changed the video quality a little bit. I would have to see it to believe it, because I would believe streaming something like old school Source games at a, you know, like 720p, like casual gamer type stuff, okay, maybe. But what's really the draw in that? Because being able to render that kind of a game locally is at this point like $50 in hardware. So what do you really gain from being able to stream that?
But this was the newest Assassin's Creed. This is fairly power hungry, I think. And of course, some of that's the DRM that eats up resources. But this was just in the browser. This is in Chrome.
I would be skeptical that this is like 1080p. Well, the guy said it's not quite as good as PC, but...
Yeah, but if you're playing games in your browser, who cares?
Yeah.
You can play the hot new game. And if your internet gets crappy, it just gets a little bit more blurry. But you can still experience the story. And maybe not, you know, online multiplayer games, maybe no. But these story mode games, why not?
It's going to be like Plants vs. Zombies. Games like that will take over. Can you imagine, like, Pixel Dungeon type games on this? It's like, I'm streaming Pixel Dungeon.
But, no, Assassin's Creed is the perfect example of a major AAA game.
That is a major AAA game.
Playable in Chrome.
Do it. I'd have to play it.
Do you have any idea how many office workers are going to sign up for this?
Yeah, I thought about the office worker angle. Yeah.
That's going to be huge.
Could be because I'm always used to internet where like the latency is 100 milliseconds, though. It's like, if you're in New York and the latency is like 7, this totally works.
It says you have to have 40 or below.
Yeah, so probably not for us.
Oh, well. You know what? I'm okay without it, but I think it'll have a market. And they'll improve it, I'm sure. We've talked about Dragon Box, Tick Box, was there like a Blue Box or something like that? All these various boxes that give you pirated content, and they've been destroying them one by one. But now, they're not satisfied with these street-level dealers. They want to go after the importer.
Hollywood tries to cripple several alleged pirate TV services in one lawsuit. So Omniverse, there's all these devices that are like, powered by Omniverse. And Hollywood is basically saying Omniverse does not have any kind of agreement with anybody to actually stream any of these shows. Like, we want to see it. And Omniverse is like, double down. And they're like, yeah, there's only 3 people in the world that have a contract like this. And we're trying to buy the other 2 so we can be the exclusive. But we'll work it out. And it's like, it's bold. It's a bold strategy.
Yeah, it's like, we'll show it to you. Yeah, we're going to show it to you. And they're like, all right, let's see it later. We're going to do it later. But you're going to see it. And you got to wonder what the end game is for them there. Are they just trying to like keep it along? Because they do offer a subscription service.
Yeah.
But somehow for $20, they give you everything. Somehow, how could you? What kind of loophole? And they mentioned that, okay, maybe like these giant CBS, NBC, like maybe there's some weird little reselling service or something, but then HBO and Showtime are in there.
Yeah.
And I don't think they license to anybody, do they?
I don't think so.
Just themselves and their online subsidiaries.
It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. There's one other company that's doing something similar, and I've forgotten the name of it, but it's like Arrow, where, remember Arrow that sued Into Oblivion? The only difference is it's a non-profit. And so they think that Arrow plus, like Arrow's strategy plus non-profit is the key to that being legal. So we'll see if that plays out as well. But so far, the studios have not taken action against that company.
They will.
Eventually. I think they'll have no choice.
They're doing it one at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to hit them with the entire legal department. You don't want to split them up into different groups.
Don't want to be fighting in Russia in winter and it's like a war on two
fronts. Yeah. They've learned a lot from World War II. Speaking of the licensing, it kind of goes to show you how specific they are about their licensing when you look at the Marvel content on Netflix, or when you don't look at it because it's gone.
Netflix cancels The Punisher and Jessica Jones, ending its Marvel shows. So these shows might come back later on, like Hulu or some other Disney-owned thing.
It's going to be Disney Plus.
That's the rumor. But
oh, it's going to be there.
Yeah,
because those shows are very popular.
They're pretty popular, yeah.
Yeah, and Disney wants those exclusives. How are you going to bring people over to Disney Plus? Give them season 3 of The Punisher, right? Why not?
I don't think anyone cares enough.
Oh, people, you are wrong about that.
People really like
Disney,
it that much?
Disney Plus, we talked about this last time, and the comments corrected us because none of us saw this, but they're like, hey, what? I've got kids.
Oh.
You're going to give me a Disney streaming service that's going to let that be the digital nanny during the day? And then at night, I can sit down and watch The Punisher. Let me just throw this ball of cash at you. Let me put a little rubber band around it and throw it through your window because I want that right now. That's going to be huge. That's going to put the other ones on their heels.
Could we possibly have a content distribution company that is more hideously evil than cable TV companies? I think we found it.
Well, Disney is certainly in the running, yeah. Maybe if they could get Facebook involved somehow to really turn it into the ultimate machine of evil.
Mark Zuckerberg versus the reanimated robot head of Walt Disney. That's amazing.
Now, when we do go into this Disney controlled dystopia and you look around you at Crazy Eyes Cortez and the burning landscape that she has wrought, and you want to remember what it was like before, maybe Microsoft can help you.
Microsoft HoloLens 2 has just launched or been announced or whatever, and why it's really all about the cloud. So Microsoft is at the Mobile World Congress this past Sunday. They took the wraps off the HoloLens 2. And so the HoloLens 2 is going to be lighter and easier to deal with and more advanced technology. And Microsoft really has doubled down on the whole augmented reality thing. So it's not a VR headset exactly, but you can do VR type stuff with it. You can see the world through rose-colored glasses in the HoloLens 2.
You can see what it was like before the bread lines and, you know, the slave camps. It'll be great.
It's exciting times. HoloLens has also scored some really amazing customers lately, like the U.S. Army, although some people are upset about that.
Yes, it will also greatly increase your kill count, which some people, Microsoft employees being those people, not happy about.
Microsoft workers are protesting the $480 million HoloLens military deal. We did not sign up to develop weapons. So, I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I was looking at this, and I think this is a decidedly different situation than Google's search engine with the Chinese government.
Well, they have latched onto this one piece of the contract or the pitch for this thing, which is increased lethality. That's the key word here. They're saying it's increased lethality. That makes it a weapon. That makes it something that we don't support.
Mm.
But if you think about it, it's like, okay, well, you live in America, right? The United States of America. And isn't our team having increased lethality better than the other team having increased lethality? Isn't the alternative our team losing?
Would it level the playing field if we made everybody have exactly equal lethality with regard to the HoloLens? Like, maybe we could just airlift some HoloLenses in a crate in the middle of the enemy territory and be like, here you go.
The other thing they bring up, and rightly so, is that our military is, you know, kind of empire building at this point and corporately controlled. You can certainly make arguments for that. And we're doing things that we have no business doing. We're not the world police. But is Microsoft in charge of that? Shouldn't that anger be directed toward the Department of Defense?
Yeah. Yeah. See, I don't see the HoloLens, even a weaponized HoloLens, as exactly the same tool of oppression as, say, a state-sponsored search engine. I mean, there's a distinction there in my mind.
And it may very well be, someday soon, the HoloLens is fighting against the state-controlled search engine. Because that's likely going to be the next enemy. You know? I don't want to live in that world, but you got to be realistic. And you also have to be realistic about what it means to be an astronaut. Now, here's the argument, and you can answer it at home as well. 55 or 62, how many miles means space to you?
I hadn't really thought about it. The article mentions it, but I was just like, wow, this seems really pedantic.
I'm a 62 guy.
So Virgin Galactic just successfully launched its first passenger past the edge of space.
Asterix.
Yeah, it's not. It's the 55-mile. They were at like 58 miles or something like that.
And the first passenger was not some rich billionaire. It was actually the person in charge of making sure that the passengers have a good experience. Making sure there's no sharp edges in that little float room. You get, well, it lasts like 3 to 5 minutes of float time, and you can look down on the Earth.
Neat.
Pretty cool, but pretty expensive.
Can't you get, like, well, I guess you get 30 seconds of float time on the Vomit Comet, like 30 seconds to a minute, just because it's in free fall.
Well, it's, but it goes up and down, so.
Yeah.
Cumulatively, but I think this is all at once.
Yeah. So you can go to space if you have enough money now.
This does not have the ability, these thrusters do not have the ability, because the air gets so thin, to get to 62. And you know who pointed that out?
Jeff Bezos.
Lord Bezos said, you know what mine can do that there can't? It can get to 62. So I feel bad for all these guys that are paying all this money, and they're not even going to be real astronauts. Because 62, that's the number.
Although the U.S. does recognize 55 as the edge, so the U.S. will recognize them as astronauts.
Yeah, but you go anywhere else in the world, they just laugh at you. They're like, oh, you're an astronaut, huh? Right. Yeah. So, we talk about Omniverse. Was that what it was, Omniverse?
Yeah, and the Disney thing.
Disney and Netflix, and all of this argument. And the cable industry is fighting so hard. But, you know, you mentioned a war on two fronts. I think they are fighting a war on two fronts. The other front that they can't seem to get their hands around is the fact that people are unsubscribing.
Cord cutting hits another record with more bad news for cable. This story also mentions that it's more bad news for satellite TV as well.
I think they bundle those now.
Yeah. They've lost so many subscribers. Remember when AT&T bought the satellite people? And I was like, this is a terrible idea. Turns out I was right.
Well, I mean, you know, it's like getting a new leg, but it's already got cancer. Or it's already rotting away.
Good news, we got a transplant for you. Bad news, there's cancer.
Seven of the toes, terribly frostbitten. So, I guess that'd have to be two legs, wouldn't it? Or it could just be a mutation.
A mutant.
In any event, the cable industry, as you might expect, it's just as old people die off, the cable industry will die.
Yeah, and they're raising the rates again.
Yeah, they're... What are you going to do? You know, keep the patient alive as long as you can.
I wonder how long until there's like a government bailout.
That could be a thing. I don't know. I don't see Trump doing that. I think they'll have to wait till the next. Because I think Trump would, you know, he's the kind of guy who would not play that kind of game.
The article
if we get like a replacement from the other side, I don't think they'll be friendly to the dinosaur companies.
The darker future there is something that we said from day one. We've been saying this for years, and that is because the company that provides the broadband is the same that provides the cable TV, they're simply going to charge you whatever they're losing from the cable TV side for the broadband side, because you have to have the broadband to do work, to pay your bills. Like, you have to have that. You can't not have it.
Now, that story mentions, for the first time ever, broadband signups did not cover the fall off in cable. So, up until now, they've actually offset one with the other.
Now, that's bad news for us economically compared to the other developed countries of the world that have cheap internet, because that has been transformative for their economy, and we're stuck in the Stone Age.
Even though we invented it, which disgusts me, all you freeloaders. There should be a tax. We never covered these sneakers, right? I mean, I would have put them in the nonsense section if I ever heard of them, but I didn't know they existed.
Nike self-lacing sneakers turn into bricks after a faulty firmware update. The $350 self-lacing sneakers don't work with Nike's official Android app. So this was, I think these originally, like the first set of these came out on the anniversary of Back to the Future. It's like, you know, your sneakers are now dry, or your jacket is now dry.
But those were button triggered.
Yeah.
And they just inflated on the inside. These might be the same thing, but I think there might like be hidden laces or something in there that just ratchet down. Anyway, nothing happens without the app. And with the app update, they've simply stopped working.
Anybody ever been through an airport with these shoes? What happened?
This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. I can't imagine even in the future, would everybody be wearing these? I just can't see that world. It's such a simple thing to do.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
This makes sense for people who have some sort of problem where they just can't tie the shoes.
Well, Velcro straps.
But if you are,
you have no upper
let's
body
say you're
strength.
In like a wheelchair or something, yeah. And you can't bend over. This makes a ton of sense. You pop them on, you get your phone out. That's super useful. But just if you're just some average kid on the basketball court with these, you should be beaten up and have them stolen because you deserve it.
You were beaten with your own shoe, which kind of hurt because of the batteries and motors in it.
You know, the problem is, though, after they beat you and take your shoes, they can't throw them up on the telephone pole because there's no license. What are the bullies going to do? They're lost. Japan has done some impressive things in space. We've learned that, you know, they were chasing that comet. They wanted to land on it. They did land on the other comet. And we got the video, which was really cool. And now they got the Hayabusa 2, which is going to land on another asteroid.
Well, it did land. And
oh, that's right.
It shot it with a bullet and got a puff of dust. And so it's collected a sample. So it's done some really impressive stuff.
I don't think they thought this through. Because what if that aggroed all of the asteroids? You know, and then they came toward us.
There's a Zerg rush headed our way right now.
Dude, don't shoot the asteroids. The point of shooting it, if you're wondering, as I was just to puff the dust up so it could collect some dust. They're going to shoot it even harder later on.
Nice. It's supposed to tell us what the early composition of the solar system is because of the age of the asteroid. So we'll see if our mathematical models of the solar system match up with reality.
If you like to watch Live Leak, you'll know that a lot of fighting goes on at drive-through windows. People get very angry and they throw things like milkshakes and water guns for whatever reason.
Just screech.
Yeah, and they'll fight over every little thing. And maybe this will be the solution to that.
At this fast food drive-thru, the person taking your order might not be a person at all. Welcome to the new era of fast food where the robot revolution is well underway. So you just talk to it. It's AI. AI's gotten to the point where it can get your order correct, maybe, possibly.
Well, they put this one through a little demo, and it was like, hey, I want a burrito. And then I was like, we've got this many kinds of burritos. Which one you want? And they went through. It's like, is there any toppings you don't want on it? And they seemed like it was pretty competent. They kind of talked about the whole, you know, like this is going to destroy a percentage of the workforce because drive-through is one of the things that the robot couldn't do before. But the workers so far celebrate it because they say one of the most soul-crushing things about working in fast food is saying the greeting line 400 times a day. The robot doesn't care.
I've discovered at Panera, when you go through the drive-thru, that you can just give them some of the ingredients you like, and they will suggest things. So it's like, hey, that salad that has apple slices and feta cheese, you know, what can you fix me up? And they're like, oh, we could do this or this. And it's like, oh, that sounds good. Do that. And it's, I want an AI that can do that. It's
you know who doesn't like that? Everybody else in the drive-thru, go the fuck inside. That is not where you do that. You go to the drive-thru, if you have less than two people in the car, or more, less than three people, I would say, and you know what you want. You immediately know what you want. Otherwise, you don't belong there.
I thought you might say that. I like that, especially for places where you order by number, and it's like, you have your numbers ready, but if it's like, you need to do a lot of modifications to the numbers, no. Like, I'm on the fence about no cheese or not. It's like, I want a number 3, no cheese. Maybe that's okay.
Well, I'll tell you another one that you must never do in a drive-thru. I've got 3 separate orders. No, you don't, bitch. You have 3 separate orders when you're inside. If you're in a car, everybody's on the same order. Just work it out among yourselves.
Pro etiquette tips with level 1.
They don't care.
They don't care. Judging by the comments, we already know they don't care.
Well, the comments are going to be turned off anyway. Pepsi had an amazing conference call. Their frankness was both delightful and terrifying.
PepsiCo is relentlessly automating its workforce, and it's even more dystopian than it sounds. So Pepsi manufactures soft drinks, and they've said, you know what? Robots could do this really well. So they are.
Relentlessly automating is in quotes there, because it's a quote. That's what they said. Now, they had a huge, huge quarter. They had some amazing profits. I think they might have been record-breaking. So what did they announce? Laying off employees that were cutting to the bone and were putting robots where people used to be. They also used, what was the phrase? It was like snacking opportunities or something like that. And so if you really think about it, it's like they want to create a type of food for every time that you just slightly want some food, a snack. And who snacks more than the unemployed? It's like when Henry Ford created demand for his own vehicles by paying more, except the opposite of that.
I thought you were going to say by buying up the railroads and mass transportation industries, which is a thing that actually happened.
Well, no, it was the assembly line, because he didn't market toward low income and minorities, but the assembly line was so soul crushing, he had to offer high wages. And when those people got paid high wages, they turned around and bought cars and were his best customers. So he didn't mean to do that, but he figured out, it's like, oh, there's an interesting thing about supply and demand. If you pay them a lot of money, they will buy your product.
So what you're saying is we need fixed income.
Oh, God. You know, the most terrifying thing that I heard this week? Universal child care. My blood ran cold when I heard that. It's like, what? Healthcare, okay, I'm not for universal healthcare, but I certainly understand how it could be useful and it could be a good thing. But universal child care? That's just the state raising your children. And it's promoting having more children with no consequences. We've
got a story about that later. Not the having children, but the state. Oh, it's scary.
Do everything that you can to keep your children out of universal child care when it comes. I pray that I'm dead by then.
We'll see you Tuesday.
Also, no Krista. We thought Krista would, you know, slink in here during the first episode, but no.
Maybe she heard us. Maybe she did slink in, but she's so quiet. She's so quiet sometimes.
Well, it depends on if she's wearing her big girl boots or not. Those are pretty loud. We'll see. Maybe she'll show up by Wednesday.